Okay. Good morning, everyone. I get the privilege of preaching for my first time since my ordination, and I'm really excited. Thank you to our church board and Pastor Jim for this Bible, and it was gifted to me on my ordination as my preaching Bible. So this is the first time I'm using it, and it's beautiful, and it's squishy, and very soft, so I'm really excited to hold it in my hands. And as I was preparing, I was going, I'm so blessed to be part of our church family, who encourages me and who walks with me and cheers for me. And, you know, all of you who met me in the hallways this morning and, you know, really encouraged me, I thank you. So we've been going through a message series or a theme for this year called All In, as we look into the life of Jesus and through the Gospels. And last week, Pastor Nathan spoke on the parable of the 10 minus. After which, in Luke's account, Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. However, in John's account, Jesus makes a stop along the way into a city near Jerusalem. And the city is, or a village, is a home to a familiar family. So read with me in John 12, 2 through 12. And, you know, I'm in youth ministry, so we're going to read this in unison. Somebody told me, one of our guys said, hey, you should make them play a game. So, but anyways, so read with me in unison if you can. I think the verse is on the board. Let's see. Here a dinner was given. It was 6 days, well, just to preface it, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And then read along with me. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Praise be to God for his word. We're going to talk about this passage. We just read it together, and it's a fairly short passage, but it has a lot in it. It's packed. So where is this happening? It's happening in a village called Bethany, just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. In Matthew 26 and Mark 14, it says that it is the home of Simon the leper, who most likely was healed because he couldn't host people in his home if he was still suffering from leprosy, because he would be considered unclean. The village was named Bethany, or literally the house of the poor. And this is important because later on we see that Judas talks about the poor. And if we look at who is there, who is present, it's the usual characters, right? Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Judas, the other disciples, according to Matthew 26 and Mark 14. And in this depiction of them, it's very typical of their character, right? So we see that Martha is still serving, right? She's serving. Martha is known for her busyness in Luke 10. And in that account where Jesus had visited the family, she complained about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and not helping her. Jesus had defended Mary at that time and said to Mary that, or Martha, that she had chosen the better part. But there's something different about Martha in John's account. She's not busy and distracted. She's no longer complaining about Mary, and she's sitting at Jesus' feet, or Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, but Martha is serving there. She had taken the rebuke that Jesus had given her earlier, and something had changed. She has been transformed. Lazarus, let's take a look at Lazarus. He is a man of no words, at least none that was documented. Typical guy, right? Just sitting and enjoying the meal. But he's just sitting there, and his presence is there for a reason, though. He is the living testimony of Jesus' power over death. In the previous chapters of John, he had been risen from the dead, and after being entombed for 4 days, he was risen to life by Jesus. And I wonder what he's thinking in that dinner. I wonder if, as he's watching Mary pour the oil and being so lavish, and he had died, I wonder if he's thinking, hey, I was actually dead and I was really stinky. You didn't use all that oil on me. You know, so I was thinking that as I was reading this, because that's their family, right? And she had so much oil left over after Lazarus' burial, and she was just lavishing Jesus with it. But at the end of this passage, we find that he is the target of a plot to kill him, not because of anything he had done, but because of what he stood for. He stood for the power of Christ. And just by living, he was causing people to believe in Jesus. Let's take a look at Mary. Once again, we find Mary at Jesus' feet. She had poured an exorbitant amount of nard. And this is an oil that is extracted from the root and spike of the nard plant and typically grown in India. And it's sometimes called spike nard. This is something I knew that I learned. And she had poured it on Jesus' feet. And on some accounts, they said that she had poured it on his head. And that was a lot of oil. It's roughly about 11 ounces. And that's about 3/4 of a pound of oil. Can you imagine that? Okay. Not only was it a lot, it was quite costly. It was imported from far off, and it says that Judas says that it could have been sold for 300 denarii, which is about equal to a year's wage. So if you think about it and you put that into perspective, according to our census figures, our annual salary average for 2018 was about $60,000. So imagine, can you imagine somebody pouring $60,000 worth of perfume on someone's feet today? Okay. This is a little bottle of spikenard that one of our youth families brought back from me. And, you know, now it's not as expensive. I don't know how much they paid for it, but they brought it back from their trip from Jerusalem. And, you know, when I look at the story with the filter of my first generation Korean immigrant family eyes, I think, what? And a word that comes to me is akkawa. And akkawa is a word in Korean that means, it's basically something that you call that is precious and you use it sparingly because it's precious and you don't want to be wasteful. And, you know, in my immigrant eyes, you know, it's rough thinking about $60,000 worth of perfume being poured down somebody's feet. And I can't imagine why Mary would do that. But in that context, how many of you can relate? Okay. But Mary doesn't bat an eye, and she lavishes at Jesus. It's extravagant. It's generous. It's humble. She put her hair down and used it to wipe the oil. And that is kind of a no-no in that culture. Women had their hair up or covered. And her act of serving Jesus in that way and loving him and worshiping him was culturally inappropriate. And so for her to have done that, she crossed some lines and she did it without thinking. Her act of worship at that time filled the house with the fragrance of nard. You know, just a few drops of this. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was curious, so I put a few drops in my hair, and I wore it for the day. And believe me, it just stayed with me all day. It was just, every time I turned, I was like, ooh. And, you know, I can't imagine what a pound of this stuff would have done. So how many of you here are into essential oils? Like you diffuse essential oils, yeah? Okay. There's this practice of, oh, there's somebody jumping up there. So there's this practice of diffusing essential oils, and it brings this fragrance into the room, and it's supposed to be good for your body and good for your mind, and, you know, it's just kind of this holistic thing. So I was thinking as I was preparing that I was going to diffuse some oil into the sanctuary to have you sample what it would smell like. But as I was thinking about it, and as I had the, you know, oil in my hair, and I was like, okay, no, some people would die. So I didn't want to put you through that, and I didn't want to trigger any migraines from smelling the oil. So I have our ushers, and they're going to pass out a little baggie, and this little baggie has a cotton ball in it, and the cotton ball has a drop of nard. So basically, this bottle was full last night, and then last night I kind of put a drop into each so that you guys could get a sample of it. If you are triggered by scents and you don't want to try it, don't do it. Pass the bag and don't take one. But I want you to open it and just take a strong whiff if you dare. I mean, it's not that bad. It's actually pretty good. It's made in a perfume scent, so if you can grab one from our ushers. So Mary poured this, a pound of it, onto Jesus' feet. And the scent of her worship and her love for Jesus just filled the house. And it filled it to the place of resting there and lasting. It was a lasting impression that she left. So hold on to that. We're going to go back to that later. But I just want you to get a whiff. How does it smell? You like it? Yeah? Smells good? Okay. But imagine that filling that whole space by her act of worship. Now, as Mary's doing this, Judas pipes in. He's saying, that's wasteful. You could have sold that for the poor. But John exercises some literary privileges as he's the author of this, and he calls Judas's character into question here and prefaces everything with he would be betraying Jesus. And John alludes to it and gives a heads up to show that Judas was not saying this to be noble. He had ulterior motives. But had you not read John's little extra tidbits, would you think it was wrong? Would you kind of agree with Judas? I think that as you look at this, there's that tension, right? There's that tension of Mary lavishing worship and of Judas being that logical person and saying, wait a minute, you guys do ministry to the poor and the afflicted here, and you're not using that resource you have to serve others and to love others. Well, I think that as we wrestle with that, and as we wrestle with how we can relate to Judas the betrayer, I think John wants us to sit there for a little bit. Maybe God wants us to see that we are not that far from Judas, and Judas is not that far from us. That we are people who can make a bad choice and turn that way. Now let's take a look at Jesus. He's hanging with his people in his last week of life. He defends Mary's actions, and this time he defends her against Judas and not against Martha. He prophesies in Matthew and Mark's account of this and saying, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus defends the vulnerable and empowers them. This little brief passage gives you a jolt into John's narrative and invites us to evaluate. Where do we stand? Who do we relate to? Do you relate to Martha? Is service your love language? Do you relate to Lazarus? Does your mere existence testify to the living God? Do you relate to Judas? Are you dutiful? Do you do things all Christians should do? But is your heart not all there? Are you just one decision away from destruction? Do you relate to Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and getting the inside scoop because of your closeness to the Lord? Why does Jesus defend her on multiple occasions? Simple. Because she's all in. She's worshiping Jesus with all of herself and all that she has. She's holding nothing back. Her worship touches Jesus and he defends her. Her worship is not about how she feels, but it's about how she's making Jesus feel. Note that worship, as we know it, is not about music and songs. It's about how we live, our actions, our hearts. I believe the tension that we feel in this passage when we struggle with wanting to relate to Mary, we want that. And yet relating more to Judas or to Martha, that tension is there because Jesus wants us to know how we're positioning our hearts. Jesus doesn't want our money. Well, not all the time. Sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit may lead you to give in a way and the Holy Spirit will nudge you. But Jesus is not interested in the money. God is the creator of creation. He doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. And I have to confess to you all that as I was writing this and as I was prepping for this, it's tough. I don't know if you know this, but pastors are human too. As I was prepping, I felt very convicted because, you know, I was in sin. I had a professor in seminary who said, busyness is a sin. And we see how Jesus addressed it with Martha and she repented. She was no longer busy and distracted and she was serving. There is a difference between being busy and distracted and serving. So as I sat in my hotel room on Friday night, and I was writing this, I was at the leadership retreat. So as I was sitting there, I had just finished writing a paper that was due at midnight. I was changing gears. I had prepped for this throughout the week, and I had everything kind of set, and I was putting things together, and I was exhausted. And I had to sit there in my hotel room and just confess to the Lord, I'm tired. And I sat there and I said, okay, God, you want me to worship you right now. That's what you're saying. You want me to worship you. So I sat there and with all my heart, I was praying and I was like, Lord, forgive me. I've been faithful to doing, but not to being and not being there. And so as I sat there, God's response to my confession was not what I thought it would be. The Lord reassured me that he had created me more to be like Martha and that I'm not supposed to be Mary all the time. But I also felt the Lord telling me to rest. I mean, I have a sermon to write, really? So I was like, really? So I said, okay. So I set my timer, and I'm usually a person who naps for like 2 hours. If I'm going to nap, I like to nap. And so I set my timer for 30 minutes, and I took a nap. I took a power nap. It was a quick one, and usually power naps don't do anything for me. I wake up feeling more tired and more lethargic. So I was going, okay. But you know what? That power nap, it was the best thing. God was calling me to do the best thing. And when we confess where our hearts are having trouble yielding to the Lord, God's response is not condemnation. It's restoration. God does not want me to worry about the thing that's due or the sermon I have to write or in Judas's case, the money that he needed for whatever he was doing. He doesn't want us to worry about those things. God is going to give me the words to say if I abide in him. God wants our hearts to rest in him. So my question for you, my questions, are you living for Jesus with your whole heart? Are you willing to do as the Holy Spirit leads? And are you being as generous as the Holy Spirit leads? Romans 12:1 reads, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your true and proper worship. Offering our bodies as a sacrifice doesn't mean we have to abuse our bodies. It doesn't mean that we have to work ourselves ragged. It's just saying that God wants us to be all in. Mary did that. She used her hair, even with the possibility of facing chastisement, to wipe Jesus' feet. Why would Mary do this? Because she shows a whole lot of gratitude. Maybe it had to do with the fact that Jesus had risen her brother from the dead. Or was there something more? What did she know? Jesus alludes to his death in this passage. He says, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Was she able to see something? There is something, too, sitting at Jesus' feet that Mary was able to gain insight into the will of the Father. The result of her worship was the fragrance filling the room. Is your worship fragrant? Just as Mary poured out all that precious oil unashamedly to lavish onto Jesus' feet, the following week, Jesus pours out his precious blood on the cross as a fragrant offering and sacrifice for all of humanity. All in for loving God and loving others. That is how we become a fragrant offering to God. Imagine with me. If we all try one thing this week, one thing, to love God or to love others more, if we did one thing to love more extravagantly, if we did one thing to love more generously, what would that look like and how would it change our community? Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that Jesus loves us and sits with us and has sacrificed so much and gives us so much reason to show gratitude by giving of our lives, Lord. May our lives be a fragrant offering unto you, Lord. So, Father, I just pray that as we leave from here as Venice Church, that you would embolden us to live more lavishly, loving more lavishly, and being more generous because you have been generous, Lord. Help us to pour out in the measure that you have poured out to us. And Lord, we know that you will return that with the blessings of joy and peace, Lord. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word and how your word is living and active. And as we engage in it, Lord, that you are able to convict, you are able to restore, and you are able to energize, Lord. So I just pray that upon our church family, may we be people who live your word out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.